And we're starting this new series today called The Beginner's Guide to Predicting Your Future. And all of you are really welcome as we begin to talk about this. You know, there are some principles that are at work all around us all of the time, and they apply regardless of whether we're paying attention to them or not, regardless of whether we believe them or not, regardless of whether we think about them or not. And a principle is not something that you can choose to apply. It always applies. And a principle is not a law or a rule that you can break. It just is. But if you ignore certain principles, those principles will break you. Here's one example of a principle. It's called the Archimedes principle. And this applies to you every time you get into a swimming pool, or every time you get into a boat, or every time you throw something into the water. Anytime you deal with water in any way, shape, or form, this principle applies. To which you might say, well, that's not fair. I don't even know who Archimedes is. I don't know anything about that principle. And it's unfair that it would apply to me. But that's the nature of a principle. They're invisible, and they apply themselves whether we choose to pay attention or not. Now, Archimedes discovered this principle, which states that if the weight of a liquid being displaced is equal to or greater than the weight of the object being put in the liquid, then the object floats. And if it doesn't, well, it sinks. And basically, that's why this rubber duck will float in this water, but this pebble will sink. That's the Archimedes principle. And this principle has existed since the very beginning of the world. And in the 3rd century BC, Archimedes explained it. He was the first one to do so. But he didn't make up this principle. He explained it. He discovered it. He found out why pebbles sink and rubber ducks float. See, principles are experienced and they can be explained, but they aren't invented. They're discovered. That's why we say Archimedes discovered the principle of buoyancy. Now, in this series together, over these next 4 weeks, we're going to discover another principle together. And it's called the principle of the path. Now, we aren't inventing it. We're discovering it. We're explaining it. And we're working out how it will make our lives better. And the principle of the path is precisely that, a path. It's not a solution, and there is a difference between a path and a solution. Let me explain. When we get lost, what do we need? When you're driving somewhere and your sat-nav has failed you, what do you need? Not a solution, because the solution is, oh, you don't want to be here. Well, you know that, right? But you need directions. When you've taken a wrong turn, there isn't an instant fix. There isn't an instant solution to being lost. There are just directions to help you back on the route or path you should be going in to get to your destination. So how do we get to the destination where we long to be? Financially, in our relationships, as parents, as partners, spiritually? How do we get to where we long to be in our careers, in our academic studies, in our qualifications, with our exams, with our weight, with our fitness? You know, for most of those things, there isn't a quick fix. There isn't a simple New Year's solution. But there might be a resolution. But that resolution has to do with the direction of travel. It has to do with finding the right way to go, the right path or the route. And that's what we're talking about in this series. Because direction determines destination. Direction of travel determines where we end up. What if you could predict your own future? How amazing would that be? Now, the good news is that most of us have got close to predicting our future. Here's how I know that. Because most of us, at some point or other, have said to ourselves, oh, I should have seen that coming. I should have seen that coming. I should have been able to predict my future. And even if we're not prepared to admit we should have been able to predict our own future to have seen some things coming, we do know how to predict somebody else's future, right? Has anyone ever thought or said to themselves, or have you done this? Oh, well, I told you so. Or they should have seen that coming. See, it's easy to see that with hindsight. Wouldn't it have been better if we could have seen that coming before we got lost? Before we got to the end of that road, before we took that wrong turn. You know, many of those things, many of those problems that we face because we took a wrong turn can't be fixed, but they might have been avoided if we'd made some different choices, if we'd been on a different path. And this series is about avoiding what can be avoided, not taking those wrong turns so that we don't end up having to deal with those problems later. Many of the problems you're experiencing can't be fixed. And maybe we shouldn't be looking for a fix. Maybe we should be looking for a change of direction. And some of you may be living in the wrong direction right now, and you know that. And if you're honest, you'd have to say that you're lost and that you're desperate to change direction. Some of you might be lost but don't know it. You see, it can be possible to be living in the wrong direction and be really happy, happier than we've ever been before, but you're moving in a direction that if you keep going in, will have a disastrous destination, and you will get lost, but you just don't quite know it yet. Or maybe you are lost, and you just don't know it right now. Isn't it true that when you're driving and you get lost, you're often not sure of the exact moment that you took that wrong turn? You aren't sure how you ended up lost. Maybe you've started to realize that you've taken a wrong turn, that you're on the wrong path. Maybe you've been happy, but you're starting to feel uneasy. You know, this is a great time to change direction, to ensure that you're on the right path. A new year is a time for us to take stock and to take direction and maybe move in a different direction. But also, we're still right in the middle of lockdowns as a result of this pandemic, wherever we're watching from. And whilst no one would have wished this situation, while no one would want to be in a lockdown, while nobody would want to be living with COVID-19, these lockdowns do provide us with an opportunity to take stock. Maybe we've got more time than normal to assess and to make changes. And the good news is this: if we change direction, things will eventually change. And it might not be a quick fix, but changing direction will ultimately lead to better things, to a better destination. And getting on the right path is better for you, and it's better for those around you. Now, it shouldn't be a surprise for those of you who have spent any time with us at ABC, at Andover Baptist Church, that we're interested in things that Jesus talked about. Because, you know, we believe if someone predicts their own resurrection and pulls it off, we should listen to all the other things that they had to say. And we believe that's true for Jesus, that he predicted his own death and resurrection and then pulled it off. So we should listen to what he has to say. And, you know, Jesus knew all about this principle of the path. And interestingly, this principle applies whether you're a Christian or not. So if you're exploring faith, this is as much for you as it is for anybody else. And these words of Jesus that we're going to be looking at today are so powerful. And he is talking about the principle of the path. And if you've been around church, or you grew up in Sunday school, or you remember some of those primary school assemblies, you'll have heard this story before. And even if you weren't around church, even if you've never been around church, you may well have heard this story in some other context. The words come in the context of a sermon that Jesus preached that we know today as the Sermon on the Mount. And it's recorded for us in Matthew's account of the life of Jesus in the New Testament part of the Bible. And Matthew was one of Jesus' first followers. And he was used to scribing, to writing things down, because he was a tax collector. And either he or somebody that he employed wrote a lot of stuff down. He may have had people to do that for him, but he was used to scribing, to writing down events that were going on. And he wrote down these events from the life of Jesus. And in the very end of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, after he'd covered pretty much everything else in his sermon, and he does cover a lot of ground, he tells a story, a parable. And we're going to look at that story, that parable, in some detail. And we can find it at the very end of this Sermon on the Mount. And here's how it starts. It's from Matthew chapter 7. And it starts with the word therefore, which is kind of Jesus' way of saying this follows on from all the other stuff I've just been talking about in my sermon. But he says, therefore, everyone. And again, I find this fascinating. This is for everyone. And Jesus had a big crowd of people listening to him. He had people who were religious teachers, who were experts in religious law. He had his friends, his disciples, his followers. He had this whole crowd of people who'd heard about him and just come out to see what he was saying. He had religious people and irreligious people. He had people who were rich and people who were poor. All these kinds of people who were listening to him. And he chooses to say, everyone. The whole crowd, not only those who were coming to believe that Jesus was the Son of God, but everyone. And then he goes on to say this, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, Jesus says, does something about them. People who hear these words, but don't only hear them, don't only listen to what I'm saying, but actually do something about them. Everyone who hears these words and puts them into practice will what? Will experience what? Immediate wealth, perfect relationships, straight A's in their exams. Everyone who hears these words will have discovered the fix for all of their problems. No, Jesus doesn't say any of that. Jesus doesn't promise a quick fix or an easy life or an answer to all of life's woes. But he does, as we shall see, invite people to live in a different direction. He points the way. And in fact, he does more than point. He leads the way. He says, follow me into a different direction. And then he goes on to say this, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man. The one who puts these things into practice is like a wise man. You know, not necessarily the cleverest man, although he might be clever. Not necessarily the most talented man, although he might be talented. Not necessarily the best resourced man, although he might have resources. Now, Jesus says, everyone who hears these words and puts them into practice will be like a wise man. See, a wise man or a wise woman understands that life is connected, that the past is connected to the present, that what I'm doing now in the present, how I'm living, affects the future and affects my future. A wise person understands that you really can predict to some extent your own future because your direction of travel now is a great indicator of your ultimate destination. That's wisdom. Well, then Jesus goes on to say, the person who puts these things into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. You know, it's interesting that Jesus would talk about building here. He was a carpenter. He would have understood the building business. You see, building takes time. It's a process. It takes work. If we're to be building a life, it will take time. It will require discipline, habit, repetition, maybe delaying instant gratification for the sake of a better future. And in the context of this parable, a house is a life, your life, my life. And Jesus is saying to build a life takes time. You know, rock is not the easiest or the simplest thing to build on, is it? You know, those listening to Jesus would have understood this in a way perhaps we don't, because we have heavy duty drilling equipment that can drill into rock these days, but they didn't have that. And they would have known that building in this way, building on rock, would have been hard and difficult. This represented the most expensive, time-consuming way to build, and it would have meant repeated work. And maybe there wouldn't have been much to show for it initially, but day after day, chipping away would have ensured that a strong foundation would be laid. And that work, that discipline, that building would have been worth it because look at what happens next. The rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. You know, this allusion to rising water was quite common in Jewish language and literature, and that was the kind of culture that Jesus was immersed in. And that theme of rising water in Jewish language and literature was a metaphor for challenges, for difficulties, for enemies, for struggles. And Jesus was talking near the Sea of Galilee. That was the geographic context that he was in. And the sand around the Sea of Galilee during the summer months was hard on the surface, was pretty solid. And it would have been really tempting to build on because it looked great on the surface. But when the rains came and the streams rose, the Jordan River that was flowing through that region would have overflowed its banks. It did that every year, and the sand would have been soaked and eroded, and it would have been a really unstable foundation for a house. But under the sand in that region, sometimes as much as 10 feet down, was bedrock. And houses built on that foundation would have lasted through the storms and the shifting sand as the floodwaters rose. Jesus goes on, "But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand." We've got everyone again. Just a reminder that this is for everyone. Everybody can benefit from this learning and this wisdom. And once again, those listening to Jesus would have understood this sand thing straight away. This was the quick way, the easy way to have built on that hard crust of a surface. It didn't take much effort. But everyone listening to Jesus would have been able to predict the future for this foolish builder. They may have even seen buildings built on sand and what happened to them. They may have even been the wrecks of houses all around them that were built on sand that when the floodwaters came crashing down. You know, what the foolish man didn't understand is that it may have looked clever to have built on the sand when the weather was fine, when there were no floods, no wind, no rain. It was the foolish thing to do when the land was flooded. Do you know what makes this builder, this man, so foolish? It's that he has assumed that today's weather will be tomorrow's weather. He's assumed that today's weather will be tomorrow's weather, and it rarely is. And look what happens. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. And yes, the rains came and the weather changed, and the house fell. Because the foolish builder hadn't laid foundations for when the weather changed. You know, building on that sand would have been so tempting in the summer. It would have looked so good, but it was the foolish way. How often in our lives does the easy, tempting, seemingly good-looking thing actually provide a flimsy foundation for our lives when the weather changes? How often have we fallen into the trap of heading down a path that looks great, that looks tempting, that looks easy, only to find it leads us to a destination that isn't what we wanted or that isn't the best thing for us? And then Matthew records this for us, and I find this fascinating. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. I find this fascinating because this story, like the rest of the Sermon on the Mount, isn't complicated. It's not like they couldn't understand it because it was so academically clever. Why were they amazed then? Well, I think it was because finally someone was talking in a way that they could understand. Somebody was explaining how God interacts with the real world, with real people, with real life. Somebody was making sense and giving them a clear direction and invitation. See, their religious teachers of the law made everything sound so complicated. You know, they sounded really clever. They looked amazing. They pontificated from on high, but nobody could relate to them. But not Jesus. And this is what I love about Jesus and the things that he said. It wasn't complicated or difficult to understand, but it was profound and it came with an authority. Because if we take what Jesus said and we put it into practice, it changes things. It changes our lives. It transforms us. And that means it comes with an authority that is profound and life-changing. You know, here in this parable, Jesus was explaining a principle, the principle of the path. You know, the wise person lives in the right direction. And the tragedy is that so often we can see when people are living in the wrong direction. And it breaks my heart when I see that. But the truth is, if we're honest, it may be happening to us too. It may be more difficult to spot for us in our own lives. You know, if we get lost, when we're driving. Maybe we can lose a few minutes. Maybe we're a bit late. But we can recover, no major harm done. But if we're lost in life, we can be so late that we miss so much, that we miss out on things that are really important, that are big. If we show up late in life, we can miss our kids growing up, or our 20s, or our 30s, or we can miss a marriage, or miss a career, or miss an encounter with the Savior of the world. You know, Jesus is making this so clear, so simple. He's saying, if you follow me, you'll be building your life on something that will last, even when the weather changes. And the principle of the path, the things that Jesus is talking about here, can be summed up simply in this: direction determines destination. Direction determines destination. The best way to predict your future is to pay attention to the direction you are traveling in and the place you're heading towards. You have the ability to predict your future by looking at the path that you're on, spiritually, financially, relationally, academically, professionally, health-wise. In every way, the principle of the path applies. And it's a principle, so it applies whether you're paying attention to it or not. You know, Jesus' invitation to people was to follow. When he called his first followers, his disciples, he simply said to them, come and follow me. You know, it's really interesting to me that his first invitation wasn't to believe. It wasn't stop. It wasn't change. It wasn't fix it. It wasn't behave this way. It wasn't do this thing. It wasn't even pray. It was follow me. And following Jesus will eventually lead to a better life. And following Jesus will eventually make you better at life. It will mean that we're building our lives on something that will last even when the weather changes. It might not be the easiest way. It might be the hardest way sometimes, but it will always be the best way. You know, you are going to end up somewhere in life. We all do. There's a destination somewhere. There's a relational destination, a spiritual destination, a financial destination, a professional destination, an academic destination. There's a destination. So the question I want to pose today is simply this: are you living on purpose? Are you living with the destination in mind? Or are you building on ground that looks okay today that will simply crumble tomorrow? Because wise people know that it's very dangerous to assume that today's weather will be tomorrow's weather. And goodness me, over the last year, haven't we learned that? Haven't we learned that lesson? You know, the principle of the path says that direction determines destination. What path are you on? Jesus invites you to be on a path with him, to be following him, to be listening to him, to be traveling where he has traveled. And if we do that, it doesn't necessarily guarantee us a life free from anxiety or pain, doesn't necessarily guarantee us a life free from troubles and difficulties. But it does guarantee us a life lived with him, lived with God, lived in a way that builds a foundation that ensures we can get through the storms of life, that we can cope when the waters rise and come crashing around us. I simply want to invite you to do this, to begin to follow Jesus, or to look at the path that you're on and say, in these different areas of my life, am I on the path that Jesus would want me on? That means I'm being wise, that I'm building foundations for a better future. And I want to invite you, if you want to find out what following Jesus is all about, to join us for Alpha, to join us for those sessions starting towards the end of January, where you can find out what it means to follow Jesus. And again, the link to sign up to that is being posted in the live chat as we speak. And then maybe, can I invite you to just show up for the next 3 weeks, for the next three live streams, because we're going to be digging into this into a lot more detail over these next three Sundays about how we can ensure that our direction of travel determines a positive destination for us in the future. But for all of us, however you're responding to this today, I just want to pray for us now before our band lead us in a couple of great songs that speak into this idea of Jesus being the center and the vision of our lives, the center of the path that we're on. But just before they sing and we join in, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this principle of the path, and we thank you that Jesus invites us to follow him, and that simply is the best way to ensure we're on a path that leads to a better destination, the destination that you would want for us, and actually, if we're honest, the destination that we would want for ourselves and for our lives too. So help us, even as we listen to and join in with these songs now, to use them as an opportunity to take a few minutes to commit ourselves to following the path that you would have us on. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.